Ah, yes, cruising along. We got another hour to go of open lines for you, so get ready to make the call. Okay, George Norrie with you. Welcome back to Open Lines. Let's go to Dave, west of the Rockies in Fraser Park, California. Hello, Dave.
Happening, George? Are you
All
having a
is
good
well.
night?
I sure am. I hope you are too. Of course, you've been on hold for an hour.
Oh yeah, I sure
Thanks.
have. Anyhow, talking about your subject tonight, the music, CDs, digital, is just not where it's at. I mean, the records and tube amplifiers had so much more better tone. It's ridiculous.
Really? How about 8-track? Anything from
Oh,
them?
well, 8-track, yeah. The bigger the tape, like when you go in to record, you got 2-inch tape, you know? And the bigger you can get that tape, the better it'll sound.
Those things sure have changed, haven't they?
Oh, they sure have. But I'd like to talk about my experience. I had a similar one as Nancy, your guest tonight.
You did. What happened?
I actually was going through a meditation process, and all at once I was up there and in the light, and downloaded was everything that ever happened ever.
So you were doing this in a meditation state.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Basically, I went through a forgiveness thing, and after reading, Source Field Investigation by David Wilcock. I knew that we were all one. You know?
That's true.
I sort of felt it. We're all one. I'm out talking to my plants, you know, and trying to not step on an ant.
And people are watching you going, "What's wrong with Dave?"
Well, no, not really.
That's
But
good.
that's sort of the thing. But anyhow, when I went up there and had all that downloaded, he basically told me that, oh, well, the way I got up there, you know the fluoride problem we have, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
About dumbing down the public with your pineal gland. Well, I was really upset about that. And I was in a very emotional state when I went out to meditate. And I told God, take me and let those people be connected to you.
That was pretty bold on your part.
Well, I figure if I go, more people will be saved and be able to have a connection with him. I mean, so anyhow, bam, I was up there. And he told me basically that I downloaded, I knew everything. And
He
he
took
said,
you up on your offer, didn't he?
yeah. And I went up there, and basically, I knew everything about everything ever happened and ever will happen. It's just like so much energy just downloaded into me. And then I look at him and I go, well, I got to take care of my wife and our mom. My mom was here. We're taking care of her. She just passed away, you
They
know, like
needed
a
you.
year
They
and a half.
needed you.
Yeah, they needed me. But I've always been a truth seeker, trying to find the truth. And I found it. And so did Nancy. And I'd like to tell all the people that there's the power of love, and then there's a lot of people with the love of power.
Probably more like that.
Right. Like the governments, they don't want to tell you the truth. They know a lot of the truth and they don't want to tell it because they'd lose their power.
That's right.
So I just want to tell all the readers out there or the listeners and everything that Nancy's right on and I can verify it.
But this is the one thing that baffles me. I still think there's got to be a place for people who have committed horrendous acts and
Okay.
crimes.
Well,
She says no. She says, we're all in the same bucket, basically.
yeah, we're all in the same bucket, but just imagine yourself being the source. Okay?
All right.
you want to experience everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but still, I mean,
yeah, I know.
You know, if somebody comes in and breaks into your house, David, and robs you and stuff, you know, there can't be a reward for that person, I don't think.
There's not a reward, okay? But he's gonna have to redo it over and over till he gets it right.
Well, why should his soul, though, be in the same mode as yours when you've been a good person?
Well, gee.
I mean, what if he broke into your house and killed you? Is your soul and his soul going to be in the same spot?
Well, I've heard on other programs that people actually come back where murderers have killed them, and they said, I want to come back and help you. Right?
Right. That's happened.
Okay. So take that into consideration. They want to help the person. But remember, it's not the soul doing it. It's the human being.
Well, that's what she stressed.
Right. Okay. Because we're all good. And we're all immortal beings having a human experience.
All right. Thanks, David. Good feedback from you. Next up, let's go to Jim in Delaware. Welcome to the show. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, George. I like to make a shout out to all those sinners who don't believe what they do is sin. Remember Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
I sure do.
Calling for the kingdom to come to earth. So when the kingdom does come, transgenderism, homosexuality, lesbianism, abortion, etc., will be done away with, will fade away, will pass away. And so I say, if you do those things, you better get her done, because when Jesus returns, he's putting his foot down.
Well, you know, I still don't know how you would compare pure evil to somebody else who is not an evil person at all. As I told you, we take your texts and your tweets. And Tom, what do you have for us now?
We have a tweet. Yo, George, Gus here. Do you remember
that he actually put that in the
he
tweet?
He does. Every time. No, every time.
Yo, George.
He goes, yo, George,
all
Gus
right.
here.
All right.
Do you remember
you're making this up.
Nope. Do you remember the bunny ears on TVs?
Well, of course. And then they had little clicky things where you had to click it to try to bring in a better reception.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what about tube TVs?
Oh, those go way back. Yeah. How about the guy who would come to your house to repair the television? Whatever happened to that industry? That's gone.
That's probably
the
way
TV
gone.
Repairman.
Yeah,
he's gone.
Runs you the Twilight Zone.
And the one I love, of course, that you are just getting to know, the cobbler.
Shoe repair.
Have you ever taken your shoes to a cobbler to get repaired?
Never.
You throw them away.
Yeah.
Or you still keep wearing them.
No. What I do is if they're semi-wearable, I put them in the garage in case of an emergency where I have to get shoes real fast.
But you buy new shoes.
Well, yeah.
Have you ever worn down your heels?
No, not really. I've ripped heels like on tennis shoes.
See, cobblers are great for that. They'll put new soles on your shoes and everything else. And I mean, it's a dying art. There aren't a lot of them out there anymore.
But doesn't the top part of your shoe look old?
No, they polish it up and fix it. They do a pretty good job. Get yourself rent the movie The Cobbler.
Okay, is it on Netflix?
With what's the comedian's name? Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, yeah.
And he's the cobbler.
He's funny.
And you know, his dad was a Jewish cobbler. And he handed the business over to him. It's a great movie.
Okay, I'll look for it.
You got to watch it.
Cool.
And the important part of the movie is when his customers would bring them their shoes to fix, he would wear them when nobody was around his shop, and he'd become them.
Oh, good plot.
You know, people would actually see them instead of him. And it's a great movie, but you've got to see it to understand it.
I will look for it.
Okay, let's go to Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ed, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure
hey,
thing.
Listen, you know, back in the late 60s, I started driving sports cars, British sports cars. I got hooked on them. I had a buddy that worked for automobiles.
Like MGs and things like that.
I had three MGA Roadsters, and they had side curtains on them. They didn't have roll-up windows. You had a pair of side curtains that you just bolted them on. You didn't have a heater in the car, so in the wintertime, I had to stick my arm out the window, scraping the ice off, driving at four speed at the same time.
How much did that thing cost you, by the way?
Well, okay, now, I had about three or four of them. I had several MGBs. Okay, I bought the MGA. I think I gave $1,000 for it. I restored it.
You bought it used, obviously.
Oh, yeah, it was used. And I love those old cars. George, the turn signal on thing, like I was telling Tommy, the turn signal had a switch that you kick it to the left for left-hand turn, you turn to the right for right-hand turn, and when you got ready to start the car, you stuck your key in the ignition, then you reached over there and you pulled out a knob to engage the starter. And it had all your gauges. It had your tachometer, your speedometer, your oil pressure gauge, your amp gauge, your fuel gauge, all your toggle switches. You had an array of gauges, but it had no heater in it because it was a California car, right? I could have installed a heater later, but I had it here in Oklahoma driving it. And, you know, I got off work late at night, early in the morning. If it's sleeting outside, I had to drive with an eye scraper.
Oh, and I bet traction was horrible in those things.
Oh, man, but I love those cars. You know, George, like I was telling Tom, I had my vision was compromised from the get-go. I had one eye to start with, right?
What do you mean you had one eye?
Well, I'm blind completely now, okay? But to start with, I had one eye from the time I was 7 years old till I went blind, right?
Okay.
Now, my driver instructor told me, she said, now, Ed, you would be better off driving a small vehicle because you only have one eye to work with. And you can see the field of vision is not as wide as it would be if you had both eyes working for you, right? So I just took off with small cars, and my God, I had about three MGAs, four MGBs, a couple of Austin Healeys, Triumph Spitfires, and, you know, I just loved those cars. And I had a buddy that ran a restoration shop and in the 80s, and we had a whole shop full of MGAs and Triumphs and Mercedeses and stuff like that we were restoring for different people, you know. I'd get off work on one job, and then I'd go over to Frank's restoration shop, and we would work the rest of the night on restoring automobiles, disassembling, taking them apart, painting them, rebuilding the motors in them, completely redoing them, you know. Man, I love that kind of stuff. I miss that kind of work so much, George. I'm a kind of person that really is mechanically inclined, and I love that kind of work. Working around those old cars is just fascinating.
Oh, that's a gift to be able to do that. Have you seen the new Fiat Spiders?
Yes, I have.
Those are neat little cars, aren't they?
Beautiful little car. A buddy of mine just bought a new Corvette the other day. He's a diesel mechanic, makes excellent money, of course. Bought a new Corvette. He swung by the house to let me check it out because I can't see it, but he said, well, run your hands over this thing and see what you think. My God, George, the wheels on that car must have been 20 inches wide.
I know. I know. It's amazing what they're doing
man.
Now.
He took me for a ride in it, right?
Well, and what is that now, an $80,000 car at least,
yeah,
isn't it?
Close to $80,000. I think he said he gave $50,000 for it because it had a few miles on it. I think it had like less than 1,000 miles on it. You know, it was like a demonstrator. So he got a really good buy on it, you know. But he got an automatic. And I told him, I said, now listen. And he wanted to get a sports car because he knew I was a sports car fan because he'd seen photographs of all my sports cars I had over the years, you know, so he was pretty proud of it. I said, well, listen, if you want a sports car, you got to have standard shift. Automatic is not what you want in a
no,
sports
he's,
car.
No, he's right. He's right. I saw a guy here in St. Louis. He bought a brand-new Porsche Targa, and I was looking at it with a friend of mine, and I said, do you think he's got an automatic in there or a stick? And he said, stick, come on. I guess you got to do that. You know how to do a stick shift, right?
Oh,
obviously.
Absolutely. That's what I learned how to drive on was three-speed on the column to start with. I had a buddy that had an old 50 Ford. When I first learned how to drive, he said, Ed, I'm going to teach you how to drive on this old 50 Ford. It was three-speed on the column. I learned how to drive on that thing. I went and got my driver's license on a VW Beetle, which was four-speed, as you know. And so that's all I ever drove. I never drove an automatic.
All right, now I'm trying to visualize on a column.
Mm-hmm.
First speed is up, right?
That's right.
And then down is right down.
That's exactly
second.
Right.
And
That's
then
right.
the third is up a notch, in and up.
That's
right.
Right.
And fourth is down. But where's reverse?
Well, that's what I was trying to remember when you were saying that. I was trying to remember where reverse was at. And driving that old 54, golly, and I'm a small guy. I'm only a 150 in size, right? Driving that big old 54, you know, good grief, that was a lot of automobile, built like a tank, you know? But, you know, you start thinking about a nostalgia. You know, automobiles was a big part of my life, but, you know, model airplanes and stuff like that, and kids don't mess with that kind of stuff anymore.
It's all video now. Everything's video.
And, George, you know, I've got buddies that are all grown adults, just like me, that collect model airplane kits. I've got a buddy that's got 4,000 of them in his garage. I had about 3,000 myself, and they're all adults, and it's an adult hobby now. Of course, I can see why. It's priced itself out of the market, but young people are just not interested in stuff like that, you know. And I was an aviation enthusiast, went out, and I have been up in private planes on several occasions. I got buddies that have private license, and we used to fly to air shows and stuff like that, you know, fly all over the country to air shows. We'd go in together and split the expenses on the cost of the aircraft. I mean, you could rent an aircraft back in the 80s, a little single-engine Cessna Skyhawk. You could rent one for $60, split four ways between four guys.
I wouldn't want to fly in a Cessna.
Well, we did. I'll tell you, the battery went out on one of them that we rented one time. We had no radio coming into the airport. And you got an air show going on. Aircraft were buzzing all around us. And we had no radios, but we had no choice to go ahead and land blindly.
Oh.
And the radio went out on it. We got it over to the hangar. They put it on a battery charger, and it wouldn't take a charge. It sat there for 8 hours while we walked around on the tarmac looking at the aircraft out on the air show. We went back, get ready to go, and the guy in the mechanic says, well, it's not going to hold a charge. He said, you're going to have to call Riverside Airport and see if they'll make good on a battery. And they wanted us to go ahead and pay for the battery. And so that's, you know, we just said to heck with it. And the guy said, well, we can get it started, and as long as you don't stall the aircraft out, you're okay, you know.
So it was a small plane that took down Richie Valens, the big bopper, and
Beach Bonanza is what took down Buddy Holly.
Yeah, Buddy Holly and the pilot.
A lot of celebrities have died in plane crashes. Patsy Cline.
Rick Nelson.
Ricky Nelson, that's right. That's a tragedy, George, you know, but... But, man, you think about all the stuff.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, wasn't he in a helicopter crash?
Absolutely. Right behind Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton was in another helicopter just leaving a concert, and Stevie Ray Vaughan was either in the front one or the back one. I'm a Stevie Ray Vaughan fan, and I really hate to see that. Well, of course, I hate to see that happen to anybody. You know, that's a tragic way to go out.
Oh, my God. It's a horrible way to go. I thought, by the way, coming back from Toronto at the health show a couple weeks ago, I thought we were going down. We were in one of those planes that had two seats, the aisle and two seats.
Yeah.
From St. Louis to Toronto.
Right.
And I fly a lot, Ed, a lot.
Sure you do.
The
yeah.
worst turbulence I've ever been in. Mm. I mean, in that plane, I was more concerned that the wings were going to break off.
Was it a commuter aircraft, a little small commuter aircraft?
Well, two seats, aisle, two seats.
Yeah, right.
One of those things.
Use them for short hops between airports.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, I got to take this break. We'll be back. Ed, thank you. We're going to come back with the rest of the open line calls on Coast to Coast AM, so don't touch your dial. Don't forget, Tom will have a text or a tweet. He's very good at that. And I'll be back with more in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. George Norrie with you, and let's go right back to the calls as the clock continues to tick. Annie in Alabama. Hello, Annie. What's up?
Hello, George.
Hi.
I remember some things a long time ago, and I remember my mother held on to some of these things. I remember in school, they had electric school bells, but the principal held on to the manual school bell, and he would pull a rope and ring the bell every morning when it was time for school. And I had a Lowry organ with vacuum tubes, and when one of the registers went out, all I had to do was take the back off of it. And if one of those vacuum tubes was not lit up a beautiful gold color, I knew that one was bad, and it took me about 5 seconds to replace it. It was fast and easy. Have you ever worked on a radio with vacuum tubes?
Oh, sure have. That's right.
And we had a can opener on the wall with a hand crank.
You know what? I still think every house should have a hand crank can opener as a backup.
Oh, yeah. You better have it. And you can get one with a great big crank that's got a lot of leverage. Don't
that's
get
right.
Those little bitty ones, because those are hard to turn.
You're
get
right.
One with a great big huge crank. And we used to have a neighbor with a well, and the bucket was hanging there, and it had a hand crank on it, and we would let the bucket down into the well with a hand crank and get water out there.
Do you remember when people used to put their clothes out on the clothesline?
I do it every week.
Still doing it. I don't think a lot of people are doing that anymore. Let's go to our first-time caller, Clarence in Kenai, Alaska. Welcome to the show. Hi, Clarence.
Hello, Mr. Norrie. I like that woman, and I like Okies. Mr. Norrie, what an incredible topic you're talking about. And by the way, Otis Redding died in a Cessna.
He did. That's right. You're right.
And you know, the song that he was going to produce was To Love Somebody by the Bee Gees. But anyway, there's a beautiful song by the Statler Brothers. I forgot how it goes. Do you remember? But anyway, I'm calling. It's going to be kind of like after going to the first time a city council meeting, and with the attitude and have my rear end handed to me, I'm going to make this real quick.
Okay.
It's going to be kind of like that Johnny Cash song. But I'm going to tell you some things about Los Angeles. I left.
Where'd you go?
Years ago. Okay. Right. Let's start with High Flyer Kites. You remember those? Okay.
I do.
Punch list. Curb Feelers. Sawdust on the Butcher's floors. They don't do that for
They don't they don't do that anymore. That's right.
The dirty the delivery the like Rockford dairy delivery. Remember the old chocolate milk where they had the cardboard tabs in the center and it was
yep.
so delicious?
Yep.
I had a paper route, and I remember some people that never paid me, I would order for them on Sundays, their next Sunday order, and I'd order chocolate milk, and of course, they never knew. But anyways...
do they even have a milk delivery person anymore?
No, that's long gone.
That's
okay.
Gone.
How about wingtips? We were raised... my mom was very thrifty. My dad died. He had a Cessna 310 also. They got crumpled. Do you remember wingtips and the fake Dickies? How about those?
I remember that. The wingtips, people still have those. I mean, I saw a pair online a couple days ago, but those fake little neck Dickies were funny.
I'm sorry. I'm a bad listener sometimes. But, see, the problem was my mom always bought us the fake ones, and people go, ooh, I went to Catholic school. In fact, I went to many. I got thrown out of my wife and I ran away to Alaska. We've been together 41 years, but we ran away from Los Angeles. And but I remember the cuff pants way up. And speaking of cheap, God rest my mom's soul, Royce Union bicycles. I never got Schwinn derailleurs. Those things, the rims bent. Okay, S&H blue chip stamps. You remember those?
I remember those. I remember my mom had them.
Oh, yes, I remember my mom and grandmother, about every 3 months, they would get a bowl together, a big wooden bowl with water, and they would lick them things. I remember going down.
Now, what did they get for the stamps? Did they get money back or a discount? What did they get?
I don't mean to cut you off. I got a lot of ground to cover quick. I remember driving with my grandma Stella Cardoza to down Hawthorne Boulevard, and we got tires for our 57 Chevy with those blue chip stamps. But how about those carbon arc lights that used to crisscross the sky from World War II at all the openings in the car? You know, the...
those big things.
Acetylene lamps. Because I know my... And let's see here...
Well, you got a whole list of things, Clarence.
Yeah, I do. I got to get through this quick, and I can't see too good. I'm a traveling salesman, so I work late.
What do you sell? What do you sell when you travel?
I, I sell synthetic Spectron tug and barge tow line for big heavy. In fact, I just, Dan Magone from Deadliest Catch, a very good man, very Christian man, I just sold him. Well, we haggled. I'm not a negotiator, but he lowballed me, and a barge went fetched up on the ground in Nome, and he called me the next day, and I, you know, he's a good man, and I thought I got him back until I delivered his six of these Amsteel 350-foot, the 3-inch diameter. The U.S. Navy is the only one has dibs on this stuff, and I had a large inventory, and I thought I made a good sale until I delivered it, and he had a Gulfstream airplane and a Grand Cessna Caravan that said Dan Magone on the nose.
Yeah. That's something. Hey, Clarence, I only have a few minutes left. I want to grab a few more calls here. I've had people on for a line, but man, you remember a lot of things that we don't have anymore. Steve is truck driving in California. Go ahead, Steven.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie. I feel like Dan because sitting here, I've been thinking of, man, there's a whole lot of stuff that I missed. But I'm going to start off with something you mentioned a while back that you missed out on interviewing and members of the Rat Pack. And I tried calling in a few times saying, hey, you know, Don Rickles is still around until recently.
And now he's gone. That's right.
Yeah. Mike Fry, Angie Dickinson, and there's another gal. I can't remember her name at the moment.
Shirley McLean.
That's her. Get her on. I'm sure she's got some stories.
I had Shirley on. In the middle of it, she had a coughing attack, and I had to cut the interview short. But, she's a great person.
Yeah, by all means, get her back and put the subject of Rat Pack up first and see what you can squeeze out of her.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, one of the things that I definitely miss is I'm a big kid at heart. Saturday morning cartoon shows. I mean, they're just gone. I mean,
they're not like they used to be.
Oh, most of them are horrendous. In fact, as a goof, there's the Mike Tyson Mysteries, which is done in the exact same style, but it's definitely more for adults. But it kind of touches a little bit on everything, and that one's fun to watch.
I love it. All right, and let's go to Tom for a final text or tweet.
You know what I was just thinking? Did you ever have a guy who drove around selling donuts in a wood car? We had this guy.
In a wooden car?
He was called,
no. I think it was called, well, you were born in California. I was born in
California.
It was
called the Helmsman. Did you ever have one of those?
No. Did you ever have the ice cream man come by?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like good, every kid, good humor. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bomb Do they have pops. That anymore?
I've actually seen an ice cream truck, yes.
Those are they're like big vans now, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're a lot different. A tweet from Nothing But Love. Are we being set up by China? What's the deal, George?
Well, that's very interesting indeed. China would love nothing but to gobble up the United States. They've already done it financially, and who knows what they're going to do down the line, but... they should be getting a little tougher with North Korea, and they're not. And I can't understand why not. You know, that's still a situation. We'll be talking about that coming up this week.
Oh, yeah. It's such interesting times.
All kinds of things coming up. And don't forget, folks, Richard Serrett will be on Saturday. I will be on Sunday, and then we'll get the rest of the week going for you. Let's go to Laura in London, Ontario, out there in Canada. Hi, Laura.
Oh, hi. Wow. I thought it was like the end of the night.
Almost. We're close.
I'm great. The reason I was wanting to call was because the out of body experience.
Yeah.
It made me wonder about, I've read about this thing that happens to people when they go to a certain park. I think it's called City Park in New Orleans. Now, I've never been there, but I have this like haunted book tour book.
Right.
And apparently they lose time. People go there. There's this place called Pop Fountain. And then the next thing you know, they wake up and they're all of them up in like trees and like all of them like simultaneously, and they all have lost time and they do not know what they've been doing, and they're not in any way like they're completely sober, and it's a consistent thing that happens. I just wondered if like they feel like they've been like out of body, but they don't, none of them in the group have a recollection of it.
Huh.
I thought, I was hoping people could call after you, call after me, just if it's a real thing, because that's the kind, I'd like to go there.
You should. I've been in New Orleans several times, but I've not been there. But that should be well worth it. I want to give that a chance, to be sure. Well, we're almost out of time, but not quite. Don't forget, we've got some great shows for you. I do want to mention a little, as we call our luncheon series. We've got one coming up when I get back to Los Angeles on May 17th. So take advantage of that. That's Lunch with me and the Beverly Hills matchmaker, Marla Martinson. We're going to have some fun there. Send an email to lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. This is in the Los Angeles area. lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. Include your phone number, and you will be called back with details. And let's see if you want to come out to that luncheon. We'll be doing a few more during the rest of the year, but this one's coming up on May 17th. In the Sherman Oaks area, one of our favorite places, the Great Greek Restaurant.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.